ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतीर्नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Today, Parikshita, we will be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5. Our focus will be on Chapter 24, which is titled as the Subterranean Heavenly Planets. And our specific focus will be on text number 9. So I will directly go to the word-to-word translation. Yeshu. In those lower planetary systems. Maharaja.
Oh my dear king.
Mayena. By the demon named Maya. Maya Vina. Possessing advanced knowledge. In the construction of material comforts. Vinirmitah.
Constructed.
Puraha.
Cities.
Nana Mani Pravara. Of valuable gems.
Praveka.
With excellent.
Virachita.
Constructed.
Vichitra.
Wonderful.
Bhavana.
Houses.
Prakara.
Walls. Gopura.
Gates.
Sabha. Legislative meeting rooms.
Chaitya.
Temples.
Chatvara.
Schools. Ayatana Adibhi. With hotels or recreation halls and so on.
Naga.
Of living entities with snake-like bodies.
Asura.
Of demons or godless persons.
Mithuna.
By couples.
Paravata.
Pigeons. Shuka.
Parrots.
Sarika.
Minas.
Akirna.
Crowded.
Kritrima.
Artificial.
Bhumi bhi.
Possessing areas.
Vivara Ishwara.
Of the leaders of the planets.
Griha Uttamai.
With first class houses.
Samalankrita.
Decorated.
Chakasati. Shine magnificently. Translation. My dear king, in the imitation heavens, known as Bilaswarga, there is a great demon named Maya Dana, who is an expert artist and architect. He has constructed many brilliantly decorated cities. There are many wonderful houses, walls, gates, assembly houses, temples, yards, and temple compounds, as well as many hotels serving as residential quarters for foreigners. The houses for the leaders of these planets are constructed with the most valuable jewels, and they are always crowded with living entities known as Nagas and Asuras, as well as many pigeons, parrots and similar birds. All in all, these imitation heavenly cities are most beautifully situated and attractively decorated. So the word imitation is coming many times. Though it is called as heaven, it is called as imitation heaven. So we will focus on that. Text 10. There is no purport, so we will go to text 10. The parks and gardens in the artificial heavens surpass in beauty those of the upper heavenly planets. The trees in those gardens, embraced by creepers, bend with a heavy burden of twigs with fruits and flowers, and therefore they appear extraordinarily beautiful. That beauty could attract anyone and make his mind fully blossom in the pleasure of sense gratification. There are many lakes and reservoirs with clear, transparent water, agitated by jumping fish and decorated with many flowers such as lilies, kuvalayas, kalas and blue and red lotuses, pairs of chakravakas and many other water birds nest in the lakes and always enjoy in a happy mood, making sweet, pleasant vibrations that are very satisfying and conducive to enjoyment of the senses. No purport, so we will proceed to text 11. Since there is no sunshine in those subterranean planets, time is not divided into days and nights, and consequently, fear produced by time does not exist. Text 12. Many great serpents reside there with gems on their hoods, and the effulgence of these gems dissipates the darkness in all directions. Text 13. Since the residents of these planets drink and bathe in juices and elixirs made from wonderful herbs, they are freed from all anxieties and physical diseases. They have no experience of grey hair, wrinkles or invalidity. Their bodily lusters do not fade, their perspiration does not cause a bad smell, and they are not troubled by fatigue or by lack of energy or enthusiasm due to old age. They live very auspiciously and do not fear death from anything but death's established time, which is the effulgence of the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the anticlimax of everything. It was taking us on a crescendo and then it brought us down. Last verse, text 40. Purport, Vishala Prabhupada ki. This is the defect of material existence. Everything in the subterranean heavens is very nicely arranged. There are well-situated residential quarters, there is a pleasing atmosphere, and there are no bodily inconveniences or mental anxieties. But nevertheless, those who live there have to take another birth according to karma. Persons whose minds are dull cannot understand this defect of a materialistic civilization aiming at material comforts. One may make his living conditions very pleasing. One may make his living conditions very pleasing for the senses, but despite all favorable conditions, one must, in due course of time, meet death. The members of a demonic civilization endeavor to make their living conditions very comfortable. the members of a demonic civilization endeavor to make their living conditions very comfortable, but they cannot check death. The influence of the Sudarshan Chakra will not allow their so-called material happiness to endure. The influence of the Sudarshan Chakra will not allow their so-called material happiness to endure. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamhiyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Gire Yatrupatam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dhinatarina वाचाकल्पतरोभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 Hare Krishna. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam continues its description of the Vedic cosmology. In the previous chapter, it described the movement of the sun planet. And it described the movement of the sun in great detail. And from there, it briefly continued its discussion on planets which are above the earth planet. Sun is also above the earth planet. So after describing the sun, it continued its description of planets which are above the earthly planets. And specifically, it chose Rahu. Now there are so many heavenly planets that are there above the earthly planets. But specifically it chose Rahu. Why? Rahu could have been discussed in any other chapter also. But it is described under the chapter Subterranean Heavenly Planets. Though actually Rahu is above the earth. And planets which are below the earth are called as Subterranean Heavenly Planets. That is because of the malefic nature of Rahu. So subterranean in one sense just doesn't mean below the earth. Geographically yes, it means below the earth. But subterranean word indicates malefic intention to Krishna's intentions. Something opposite to the Lord's intention. And we'll discuss more on that now today. So this Rahu is being discussed under this particular chapter. Rahu is discussed and the trouble that Rahu creates is also discussed in this chapter. Nevertheless, as much as it was described in today's verse, it is described in the earlier verses also that this Rahu is also under the control of Sudarshan Chakra. As much as the inhabitants of the subterranean heavenly planets are also under the control of Sudarshan Chakra. Moving on from Rahu, it comes closer down towards the earth. It keeps moving down. And then it moves to describing briefly Siddha Loka, Charana Loka and Vidyadhana Loka. And then it comes further down towards the earth and it talks about Antariksh, which we call as space. Scientists call as space, up to which our so-called rockets may go and hover around there and come back. At best that's where we have reached in technology. So Antariksh is the vast space above the earth. But who inhabits this Antariksh? Ghosts. Ghosts are inhabiting this. And then it moves down to where we all are, which is planet Earth. But it doesn't describe Earth because earthly planetary systems have already been described in previous chapters. So it directly moves down now in this chapter to describing the subterranean heavenly planets, planets which are situated below the earth. Interestingly, it says that the planetary systems which are below the earth, in terms of their dimensions, they are very similar to the earth. Nevertheless, in terms of their beauty, the beauty of these planets is no comparison to the beauty of the earth. Did we lose something? Shall I? Sorry? So now it's describing the Srimad Bhagavatam comes down, down, down towards the earth, and now it's going below the earth. So though in terms of measurement and size, the subterranean heavenly planets are very similar to the earth, in terms of their beauty, there is no comparison to the beauty that we see in earthly planets. It is mentioned therefore here that the houses are extremely beautiful, the gardens are extremely beautiful, the places of sense enjoyment are even more opulent than those found even in the higher heavenly planets. This is amazing. Right? That day I was passing by and then we were driving past Albert Park and there was written house on sale and there was a man with a tie standing outside. He said, "What is this? It looked like a matchbox to me, that house in Albert Park. They call it as a house. Okay. Everything is attached. One house is attached to another, attached to another, attached to another." So we went inside just to see what's the house. It was like a dungeon, I can tell you. In India, we have this first class compartment, second class compartment and third class compartment. In India, we have that. Trains which go here and there, Bharatiya Rail, like that. So if you go to the first class compartment and you enter the train, you have a very narrow corridor. No, only one person can walk through that corridor like this. And then you have rooms coming out on each side of it, right? And all those rooms are like matchbox. And then when you look up, there is no sunlight. There is a small hole that they have created, put a glass, and they call it as what? Sun roof or something like that. Right? Sunlight can come inside. And then I ask, what is the owner expecting? And he said, $1.5 million for the dungeon. Right, $1.5 million, which a common man will find, you know, struggle throughout his lifetime to pay, unless one is very adept at having made already money through buying many houses and selling. For a salaried person, extremely difficult, like that. So in this material world, we see that even such matchboxes are extremely expensive, and even if you pay that much, really, one will not be satisfied staying there. Nobody can stay in that house. I was telling my wife also that, how can someone live here? I mean, there is no sunlight. Sunlight is basically you need, no, otherwise you get depressed. Okay, better to live in a modest apartment where all sides sunlight is coming inside. At least there is some light there, right? Who wants a dungeon, $1.5 million dungeon, right? And it's obviously, they are so close to each other, these houses, so dangerously close, more than even apartments. They don't even offer a privacy of an apartment. So dangerously close. Just stuck to one another, one another, one another. It's a row of houses, right? No space in between. So there will be no privacy also, right? Moment you do something, neighbor will complain. And then for 1.5 million, again, you can't even do kirtan inside that house. Because you never know who the neighbor is, and that fellow will complain.
This is right? This price is maybe 10-year-old.
10-year-old price, no. More. Maybe he told 1.5. Nowadays when they say 1.5, it goes at, you know, 2.
Minimum
2 million.
2.2.
They tell always 300,000-400,000 less. So to attract it. But anyway. So this is the nature of this material world. Even if, you know, when you pay, you can't get opulence. Whereas in these subterranean heavenly planets, there are houses which are described, which are much, much more beautiful. Now why is this beauty provided in the subterranean heavenly planets? That is because Prabhupada writes here that demons have a very high standard of enjoyment. Our standard of enjoyment is also left to the dungeon only. And we think that I have a very beautiful address, Albert Park, prestigious address. But it is for outsiders to show. But when you come inside the house, you can't enjoy because there is no sunlight inside. You, all the time you have to keep that. And even when that fellow on, I told him on the switch. When he on the switch, there is one, some light is coming. And I'm wondering, is this the light that I'm going to live inside? Even artificial light is not enough in that house. It's like just enough to see each other, that's all. It's very, very depressing, like that. So, and I heard also that that house went for some, you know, exorbitant price over what that Thai fellow was selling. So, this is the material world, right? But the demons have a much higher standard of enjoyment than us. They will not settle for this level of enjoyment. They want much higher enjoyment. Look at it. When you come to the temple, look at the lighting here. So beautifully done. And devotees who have painted this, so artistically they have done. You know, I was amazed when I saw this. First time I really paid real attention to, you know, all the walls here. Such a fine taste. It's got a very subtle kind of a color, which is not very, it doesn't hit the eye. It's very pleasant to look at. This is how it should be. And then it is now enhanced by all these beautiful chandeliers. There is nice light. When you come inside, you feel like you are coming somewhere where you get some peace. And then when you look at the deities, then obviously they are the most beautiful aspect of this temple, right? So this is how a place should be. Now coming back to the subterranean heavenly planets, these demons have a much high standard of sense enjoyment. And it is said that the inhabitants who live here, they are called as Daityas, Danavas and Nagas. And they live as householders, these people. All these people are grihasthas mostly. They live as householders, fully engaged in illusory material happiness. That too, without any disturbances. There is no Monday to go to office, I think. No disturbance. All weekend only. Enjoy. Right? No old age, nothing. Even their bodies do not give foul odor. There are no wrinkles on the body. If someone reads this, he will think this is the goal of life. This is where I want to go. I am willing to do anything to go here. Right? Like one, I was hearing to one lecture by Gaurang Prabhu, one Prerna lecture few days back. And he was saying that once a drunkard was asked, don't drink so much. He said, what is the problem in drinking? He said, you will go to hell, the devotee said. You will go to hell if you drink so much. So he said, yes, I will go to hell. Okay. But then my father is also drinking. He said, he will also go to hell. Then he said, my friends are also drinking, my best friend. He said, they will also go to hell. And then we said, what happens in hell? You know, they said, all of you will go together to hell. Right? And then he said, that doesn't matter. No, no problem. If I go down to hell, and then, you know, everybody is drinking, that's what I am doing here also. So very nice. You know, I can eternally go there and I can sit and then drink with them. Right? So, the mentality is like that. To enjoy uninterruptedly. Because beyond that sphere of enjoyment, the consciousness has not developed that there is something higher to this, to existence. And the Lord recognizes this. And therefore create such places also to satisfy every living entity. Bhagavan, God, is described as Aishwaryasa Samagrasya Viryasya Esasriya Jnana Vairagya Saiva Shannam Bhagaitina. This is the definition of God. God means a person who has got all name, all fame, all power, all beauty, all wealth. But despite having all this, God has got one quality, which is renunciation. All renunciation. Now, what is this renunciation? Yes, he is not attached to his material existence. That is one level of renunciation. But the highest renunciation of the Lord can be seen that he is willing to give those people also enjoyment according to their free will who do not regard him at all as the creator. Can any human being have this kind of renunciation? Even in this material world, even those people who are good people, who do good for other living entities, they say, I don't expect anything. I did so much for these lepers here. I brought them from the streets. I opened this leper home. Lepers is people who have leprosy, right? I did so much. At least the leper can say a thank you to me. At least he can acknowledge that because of me, he has got this hope. At least tomorrow when I am lying down sick, the leper will come and give me some water. So even the people who are in the highest mode of goodness, they also expect something. As devotees, don't we expect? We also expect. Prabhuji, I invited that person home for prasadam 2 times. Not even once they have invited me. Right? So when we do something, there is automatically an expectation that comes, that I want to be, that this person also should reciprocate me with me in some way. Now look at the Lord's renunciation. These asuras, they don't even acknowledge the Lord. But still, because these people desire enjoyment, the Lord is providing them a very high quality of enjoyment in the subterranean heavenly planets. Beautiful gardens, lakes, right? Everything He is giving them. Which creator will do this? That I will do something, I am only interested in giving you what you want. Whether you acknowledge me or not, I love you unconditionally, I am giving you this. You may not even look at me. Today even parents will not do this for their children. Parents also say that we have done so much. Yesterday only one father came to my house, he was lamenting. My child is not even, you know, he's come of age little bit now. 7th grade or 8th grade, something like that. And he was saying that, you know, the son is behaving completely different now. Completely not acknowledging me at all. Don't disturb me, he says.
Go.
Why you are entering my room? Don't disturb. Like that. Okay, so this is the nature of the material world. And here is the Supreme Father who says, no problem, my dear son, I will not disturb you. How can I serve you? I want material enjoyment. Just leave me in my room alone. In my room, I want gardens. I want ladies for enjoying. I want wine. Give me all that and get the hell out of here. Lord says, thank you. Yeah, sure, my dear. I'll do it for you. This is the renunciation of God. Who can be so renounced in this world? Right? So when you look at the opulence in the subterranean heavenly planets, this aspect of the Lord, you know, we can really relish how He is. So detached, yet so loving, that He gives you whatever you want, whatever you have desired.
They have temple also.
They have temple also there.
Yeah.
Right?
Just said, no?
Yeah, I was also wondering. There is a temple. Because the Lord says, you rascals also, if you so desire, there is one temple also. If you one day realize and get scared of the Sudarshan Chakra, you may visit the temple if you want to. I have provided for you. Tomorrow you should not blame me that you didn't give me an escape route out of this. Right? So He provides that also. So how much He has thought about them? Just imagine. Which father will think so much? They will say to hell with you. After some time, you either obey me or not one money from one paisa, $1 from property will come to you. If you don't respect me. But here, I give you everything unconditionally. Right? The only Bhagavan can do that. That is why He is called as Bhagavan. Right? Nobody else can be so renounced, yet so loving. Usually when people get power, what happens? They say, I am the controller. You please understand. Now, this office runs under my jurisdiction. Either you align or you... Thank you very much. You can leave. You know, that's how it is. Moment you get power, then you want to control others. My way or the highway. This controlling tendency is there. But the Lord is very impartial. So the subterranean heavenly planets actually projects the impartial nature of the Lord towards jivas who don't have anything to do with it. But still the Lord is providing it. Who can be so impartial than this Lord? In fact, when we study the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned there that this entire creation is the summum bonum or the sigma or the summation of the desires of all living entities. This whole creation is the summation of the desires of all living entities. Right? Now, it's not, if we dive a little bit deeply, it's not very difficult to understand this. Why the Lord has created this kind of a cosmos? At the very top is the spiritual world, which is there is Vaikuntha, which is the effulgence of the Lord, which is full of light, right? The divine light. And within that light are floating various planets. Some are in the ground floor planets, some are between planets, and then the highest is Goloka Vrindavan, right? So the Lord has provided that, right, in the spiritual world. And then He has created the material world. But in between also He has created a Viraja river. Just in case you are not decided which side of the wall you are. Right? So there is Viraja river for those people. You have no attraction for the Lord, but you have no attraction for the material world also. So you stay in between. He has provided that also, sitting on the fence people. Right? Viraja river attainment. Right? And then the material world starts from the highest planet Brahmaloka, and it's coming down from the point of view of earth. We have the earthly planets, then the heavenly planets, and then the subtle planets which are on top, which are the subtle material planets. Maharloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Satyaloka. And then we have Swargaloka, where now the enjoyment becomes more gross and gross. Then we come to earth, which is gross. And then it goes down to the subterranean heavenly planets again. It's not that below it, it's called as hellish planets. It is subterranean heavenly planets, where it is again gross yet fine. For example, you may wonder, what is gross and fine? Drinking alcohol is a gross enjoyment. But even that, somebody will say, I don't take country liquor. I go for the best wine. Italian wine. And then the wife will also boast. There was one lady I met many, many years back. She said, my husband has got, is a connoisseur of taste. He's got fine taste of wine. So they pride themselves, you know, in terms of the fineness in doing something which is gross. Right? So that is also there. So these subterranean heavenly planets are there. And then below that we have the court. The court of judgment, which is called as Pitruloka. That is the place from which everyone is allocated their places. For example, I used to work in a manufacturing company many years back. So when I used to enter the office, I used to see people waiting outside. There were a lot of laborers who used to wait outside. For us, you show the gate pass, he will allow you inside. And then there are those managers who are driving past, the gates automatically open, they go in like that. Okay. So then there were laborers who are waiting outside. And every day these laborers will come and look for a job, temporary job there. So everyone is allocated. Hey, you building number C, toilet. You building number 4, kitchen. You building number this. So the Pitruloka is like that. The court or the judgment, or where Yamaraj is sitting. And then he says, hey, you subterranean heavenly planet number 3. You, Swargaloka, number 4. You, what is that in Jambudvip? What is that loka? Some Varsha. We forgot also what Varshas they are. Ilavrita Varsha. You go there. You, okay. Raped, murdered, okay. Kumbhipaka. Andha Samishra. 26 hellish planets which are below that. So it is not that these lokas, just because they are below the earth, it is not that they are hellish planets. They are still considered subterranean heavenly planets. And the Lord has created separate hellish planet also, right? So it's not that atheist people who are not pious are sent to hellish planet. That's how kind our Lord is, right? Atheists also who are maybe good human beings, but atheists, for them this provision is given to enjoy. At least they are not, you know, doing highly sinful activities, right? But they don't consider the Lord. So, okay, you desire to enjoy, based on your karma, I'll give you enjoyment. In such a place where you can't think of me. Okay? But I'll give you some temple. There also there is one temple there. Right? So this is the beautiful creation of the Lord. Summum bonum of desires of all living entities. The Lord provides even for the animals. Right? He provides for the animals also. When we see National Geography, every time I see National Geography, you know, it's amazing how the Lord takes care of every single living entity. Today in my house, when I was taking, you know, when I went for taking bath, I saw, because now it's summer is coming, you know, slowly, so those black ants have started coming from somewhere. So I saw all of them are coming and congregated in one place. They were having a meeting this morning in my house, in the bathroom, right? And they were all congregated around something which apparently looked like some food for them. I didn't provide that. Somewhere it has come from. So Lord provides even for those people. Right? In one corner of a bathroom of, you know, one apartment in Canterbury Road. Right? So he provides for them also. I was thinking, my goodness, they are also being provided for like that. Right? And when you see National Geography, you see that the Lord provides in the most remotest place. In Siberia, He provides some food to some animal. Right? That animal is hungry and incidentally something else is coming, and then the animal latches on. The polar bear is eating something, right? It digs under the snow, it finds something. So the Lord is providing everywhere. Who can provide like this, right? So of course, these lower beings, they have no evolved consciousness to think of anything higher. If you see the consciousness, if you see this animal life in National Geographic, actually, trust me, if you see National Geographic really from the lens of the scripture, it is a horror movie. National Geographic Animal Channel is the most horror movie that you can ever see. Because all that horror, where the tongue of the ghost comes out, exorcist and whatever, you know, evil dead and all those things which we have seen, right? Okay, fine, whatever, after that what, it will come at you, it will pierce you with nails, it will suck your blood, you are dead. But this animal life, you are neither living nor dying. All the time, the bird is looking like this. Imagine this is worse than one time death. Every moment you are worried that some other bigger species, eagle is coming from top, eating me, tiger is coming from behind, eating me. Does anyone want this kind of existence? And then on top of that, it is said there is global warming, and because of global warming, they are not in their natural habitat anymore. So they have to struggle for the same food now, because man has taken away the food which God has provided, right? Man has ruined this earth, right? So it is said these animals have to come out of wherever naturally they used to get food and take higher risks just for one meal. Higher risks. And when they come out, all these vultures are waiting for them, right? I saw that day elephants and a small, very cute baby elephant which is walking between the four big trunks of her mother is going, and all the elephants are congregated around and one tiger is watching. I am thinking, do I want to be born as an elephant? No way. In Hindi we say, nazar hati to durghatna ghati. Moment that elephant takes away the eye, tiger will die, pounce. And those elephants are also scared. So they are all congregated together. Trust me, even if 2-3 elephants fight with each other, thankfully elephants don't have that kind of fighting. I don't want to talk to you from tomorrow. At least they don't do that, correct? At least they are together, right? But imagine if the envy, if they develop some envy and each elephant goes its way, finished. The baby elephant is finished. Mother elephant will be finished first. Bigger meal. One elephant can hurt. Correct? So, this is horror movie, right? And when you really think, you don't want this kind of birth in the next lifetime, right? But being born in Siberia, in somewhere, where we are hunting for our next meal, right? Worst type of horror. So these people don't have, this animal species, they can't even inquire about the purpose of existence. But human beings have been given this intelligence. Human species is the only species, if we lose this we are finished, where we can inquire. But even amongst humans, even though this power of inquiry is given, again human beings are of three types. People who desire bhakti, who desire mukti, and very few who desire bhakti, right? Very rare species. Devotees are extremely rare species. If you are sitting in this temple, we are very rare. We are the rarest of Aryans, or the most evolved species. So if we subdivide the sum total of desires even of human beings, there is amazing, so many permutations and combinations of desires of living entities, and the Lord is beautifully provided in this cosmos for each type. I was just noting down some of this. Again, this morning only. Some thoughts, and then I was noting down this. There are people who want unrestricted sense gratification. To hell with this whole world. To hell with the rules and regulations of this world. This is typically those drivers in Canterbury Road. Sometimes I hear that. Like that fellow will race that new motorbike. Right? I don't know who he is trying to impress. Thinking of the imaginary female who is looking at him and admiring him, right? Nobody is looking, correct? But still that fellow, and then going full speed, okay? 100 kilometers or something is going on the Canterbury Road, like that, okay? So, no regard for traffic rules, nothing. Just some kind of in Hindi we say, taan mein hai, khud ke taan mein hai, in their own sweet imaginary world, right? Of trying to impress someone who may not exist also, right? So, unrestricted sense gratification. Do anything you want. Drink as much as you want. Make merry. Enjoy. Produce children accidentally. If you don't want, kill the child, abort the child. How does it matter? Like that. So this is called as unrestricted sense gratification. Okay. So what is the, so for these people who want unrestricted sense gratification, now when I say unrestricted, it means their sense gratification is at the cost of other living entities. Okay. At the cost of other living entities. The suffering of other living entities is their enjoyment. I was seeing a documentary the other day on National Geographic. This was on Saddam Hussein. My goodness, such a terror. He was described as what? A ruthless megalomaniac, something. What is that? For power, what do you call that? What mania is that? Mania for power is called as what? Something is called a specific type of mania. Megalomaniac, yes, I think so. Yeah. So ruthless megalomaniac, right? Power. It is said that when he laughs, if you don't laugh, you are finished. You have to laugh. And the lady who was speaking, she also imitated how he laughed. He laughed like that. And you also have to say, like that. If you, and when he is sober, if you laugh, you are killed. Imagine being in the proximity of such a person. Actually, it is that many people committed suicide knowing that they are going to die at his hands. People who have proximity are also miserable. People who are not in proximity are also miserable. Right? And just one eyebrow, he will move an eye like that and he will look at you and it's terror. And actually they have shown, they are shocked how he looked at people and people shivering in the audience. They have actually captured all that. And then he just points to that person and then his guards take away and immediately executed outside. Because that fellow did not obey something which he said. You know? So what do you think should be the destination of these kind of people? Whose enjoyment is at the cost of other living entities. Now, for them, should they not get the hellish planets? What is wrong if they get the 26 hellish planets? Because, why the Lord is giving them hellish planets? Because the Lord gives us other living entities, no? Who you have harmed. Suppose I kill your brother or your son, will you leave me? Correct? Right? So, this is justice. Perfect justice for such people. So, hellish planets is justice. Where they will get their punishment and hopefully get their lesson. Right? The second type, higher than this, are the people who want bhukti, but somewhat restricted. They are not so bad. They are restricted with reasonable regard to other jiva tattvas. Okay? But no God consciousness. No God consciousness, but some social responsibility. Who reject God and his constitutional position. These are the people who get this subterranean heavenly planets, who may be doing good activities. For example, when you go and preach, many people say, I don't believe in God. I believe in being a good human being. I donate for food for life. I donate to the poor. That day, I was talking to someone to take Srimad Bhagavatam sets. That person told, I'll donate, but I don't want Bhagavatam. Like that. So, good people, but can't accept Krishna, can't accept God, like that. So that also is there, right? So, such people, they want to have a good life. They work very hard to get a good life, but they have nothing to do with God. They don't want to go too deep anywhere. They just want to be away, but be good human beings, like that. So, these are the people who get these subterranean heavenly planets. Then there are people who want sense gratification, but are pious also. They are pious. They believe in some form of something up there, right? It could be God, demigod, I don't care. It could be Durga, it could be Ganesh, it could be anyone, right? But my desire is that I want to enjoy my life. So I pray to that person who gives me that enjoyment. So these are the karmis. The Lord provides for them also. But it is also said that even if you do such karma kanda for lifetimes after lifetimes, janma koti shukriti na labhyate, you cannot get the shukriti by which you can escape this jail of material existence. Then we have the people who want sense enjoyment but who have a very high level of piety, very high level, and they are also have piety towards Lord Krishna. They accept Lord Krishna as the supreme. This is called as Bhakti Mishra devotees. Oh, sorry, Karma Mishra devotees. Right? So people who believe, okay, who say that, okay, fine, you tell me I have to worship Krishna, I will worship him. But I will go to him for with my material desires. The Lord says, Chaturveda Bhajan Tema, those kind of people, right? And then they are from Bhukti, now you come to the Mukti people. Mukti also there are different types. First is the bogus Mukti wise, who are anyway not going to get Mukti. But they think that they are liberated. Ye Aravindarsha Vimukta Manas. They think that they are liberated. These are people are the Mayavadis, the impersonalists who think they are liberated. But they are not going to go anywhere because their philosophy is, I am God, you are God. Okay, when you get liberated, you will realize you are God. Okay. And therefore, the philosophy is bogus. There will be no, the process also which follows the philosophy is bound to be bogus. So therefore, they have to rot in the dark regions. Now in the dark regions, I am thinking, these people will land up in the, could be landing up in the subterranean heavenly planets. Because they may be Mayavadis, but they may be good people also. They may not harm any living entity. They are Mayavadis, thinking that by being so good, I will become God. So they could be very good candidates for subterranean heavenly planets. Then there are the failed Muktivadis. They are not the bogus. They wanted Mukti, but they have failed. Why? Because they started with the desire to attain Paramatma, liberation through Paramatma. But what happened? They got attracted to Siddhis. And therefore, they are now hanging in the Siddha Lokas somewhere. So Lord provides for them also a world. Then, there are the genuine Brahmavadis, who are genuinely attracted to the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. They may not deny the existence of the personality beyond that, but they are happy in the impersonal existence. These are the genuine Brahmavadis. So the Lord provides Brahman layer for them. Then there are those people who are undecided whether to go to the spiritual world or no. They are not decided. Let me not put it that way. They are not attracted to the spiritual world enough, but they are enough detached from the material world. So they will land in the in-between layer, which is the Viraja layer. Okay. I was hearing in a class many years back, Buddhists who follow non-violence, they don't harm anyone. Only in pandemic we put all this. They put this all the time, we must sometimes. Jains also put like that, correct? Right. So, these are another set of people who don't want to harm, but they have still don't love God. But they don't want to harm any living entity. So, in between, somewhere. No qualification to enter there, no reason to be here. Right? And they are also detached, nirvana, completely detached, like that. And then there are devotees who practice bhakti but still want to enjoy the material world. Know of anyone like that? Who want to go back to the spiritual world, but who still also want to enjoy the material world. So many material desires. And Prabhupada once said that many ISKCON devotees will land up in the heavenly planets. Now this is the difference between Divya Swarga, which is the upper heavenly planets, and Bila Swarga, the subterranean heavenly planets. People who acknowledge the Lord, but still have that desire, I should also control a little bit. I want some position. Sometimes even in the temple, want some position. Then only I will work. Please give me position. Then I will serve very nicely. Why that person is dead? Why I am not dead? Why I am not getting this position? And they will be motivated to work only as long as they are given that position. The moment you take away the position, they will feel very uncomfortable. And then, you know, you will see that the dedication is not that much if you remove the position. Devotees only, no doubt about it. But even in devotional life, Prabhupada therefore writes, even in devotional life, you can do devotion in the mode of ignorance or mode of passion or mode of goodness. Of course, and then the mode of transcendental goodness, right? So the Lord provides, Lord is very patient with all kinds of, you know, all permutations and combinations. But one thing the Lord does for these devotees, because they acknowledge Him, okay, and they follow the four regulatory principles, they don't believe in harming jivas, they also want to attain the Lord, but adat se majboor, he says, they are victims of their desires somehow. Their desires are not predominant, they want God only, but desires are also there. So what happens? The Lord thinks that yes, these people are trustworthy because they acknowledge me. But at the same time, they can't enter there because there, though, it has to be Anya Abhilashita Junya. So you can't go there. Therefore, demigods. So the jivas can become demigods, right? And the Lord gives power of attorney also. You take charge of digestive system. You take care of neuro brain system. You take care of liver functions. You take care of excretory system. Mitra. Like that. So all demigods are positioned. Okay, people who he trusts. Okay, I can give them some power of attorney, not more than that. Because when you give more power of attorney, because sometimes what happens, the material desires overwhelm these kind of devotees also. Indra, he said, how can you worship Krishna, gopis? You have to worship me. I am the one who provides rainfall. Okay, how dare you worship? Then Krishna knows how to correct them. Little bit of a slap here and there. But after the slaps which Lord Krishna gave, what happened? Indra did not say, you have slapped me, I'll see you next time. Did he say like that? No. Whatever it was, yes, he troubled gopis, no doubt about it. But after that, he stood with folded hands. He took Surabhi in front and then stood. At least there was a sense of regret that, Lord, you are the supreme, but I'm so sorry I did this because I just got carried away. That was what his mood was. And the Lord still keeps giving him that power of autonomy. Okay, fine, no problem. I'll still give you that power of autonomy to be in that position. So this is the basic difference. So, and then obviously then the Lord provides for those devotees who want mukti. Devotees who don't have anyone, who don't want to enjoy here. They want to be with the Lord. They want to enjoy, they want to serve the Lord. But they still want mukti. They don't want to come to this material world. If the Dasya rasa, then they go to the Vaikuntha planets. And then if there are higher rasas, then they go to the Goloka planet. Right? For example, the great Bhajanananda saints, who are only focusing on their bhajan and they want to do Leela Pravesh. Right? The Lord provides for them also. And then the highest category of devotees. Who are they? The Ghoshti Anandis. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Nani. Lord Shiva tells Parvati, Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apitulyata Darshanam. These devotees don't care if they have to come to this material world or whether they are in Gola Vrindavan. How does it matter? They only want to serve the Lord, Ghoshti Anandis. If the Lord wants them to come down and preach, they will come down to the Bowery and then preach. Bowery of New York. They will go to the most fallen places in the world to give the message of Godhead. Full of compassion, these people are. So, there are so many desires of living entities. The Lord is so kindly fulfilling all these desires. So, in this particular section, the Lord talks about those people. Now, it is going to give a, now we are going to go into details of the subterranean heavenly planets. I'll stop here. That's very, very 2 minute summary. What is the characteristic, what is the unique thing about these subterranean heavenly planets? The unique thing is, these people don't want to be disturbed by God. That is why they are in the subterranean heavenly planet. They want enjoyment without God consciousness. But good people. Maybe they are not troubling others. But whatever it is, the moment you say heavenly planets, then it no longer becomes karma bhumi. It becomes bhoga bhumi. Which means the karma for going there has to be done in earthly planets. For example, one of my devotee friends, was in India. He told me that I am coming to Australia. I said, how come suddenly? He said, my company has given me a tour to Australia as a reward for my performance on my job. He works with a big German company, right? They said, we are giving you a free tour of Australia, free for family. Go and enjoy. And they told that he is coming to, you go to Hilton Hotel. They are putting him in the top hotel because he was a real top performer in the company. He is a very good devotee. Right. He was my batchmate also in my MBA. So, his parents are also very good devotees, very good family, right? So, this devotee told me, and then you are telling me, where will I get prasadam? Now, ordinarily, someone says, Hilton Hotel, wow, the choices of wines I can order now, enjoy at company's expense. Order this, right? Bring that, bring this. No, he is saying, where will I get prasadam? Right? So, this is devotee, right? I mean, it's enjoyment also, opportunity to enjoy also, they are thinking, what will I do there? Where is the nearest temple? All these inquiries were there. Okay. So, this is the nature of a devotee. Whereas, the Lord provides for these people who have nothing to do with it, that same Hilton hotel. But what happens? Creates darkness there. With artificial lighting will be there in that hotel, right? But no sunlight. So the Nagas have some diamonds which dissipate the darkness. Basically, you people will be in darkness. Even if you get some light, what kind of light is it? It's coming from the hood of a snake. That's not auspicious. Auspicious is that light which comes from Surya Narayan, right? Who is a devotee of the Lord, right? Not the snake fools, right? There is no auspiciousness in the light. It is just light. What is auspicious is in disco light. In that pub also they have, and then the light is coming. Is it same as Brahman? Will you get some Brahman and, wow, what light, what peace of mind? No. It is mundane light, right? It's light in the mode of ignorance. It's light as good as darkness. So, that is what happens here. So, despite people who are residents of these subterranean heavenly planets, they are actually the most unfortunate in this world. Because they are neither being punished. When you are miserable, at least you look at God, they don't even have that misery. So, completely gone. No awareness of God. And then everything is nice around you. But when death comes one day, what will you do? Nothing has happened. No? And what happens? Next life, you may say, what happened? Next life, they will come again to the earthly planet. What's the big deal? I enjoyed for as long as it was going good. So what's wrong in coming to earthly planet? I'll tell you what is wrong. Think about it. Can we go back to Bombay and work now? Can we go back to Bombay and work in the local train? Can anyone go to the local train? Can we go to Chennai and have corporate life? Buses are at 45 degree angle, it travels. The 45 A bus. Where I tell you to wherever that was. It travels like this. People are hanging out like this. Literally buses are hanging like this, right? People are sitting on rooftops of trains and travelling. Can you and I go there and work now? We have lost our ability after coming to Australia to even go to India and work. Can you imagine these people who have that kind of an opulence, even that Albert Park 1.5 million property, they'll say, what is this, matchbox? I can't enjoy here, I want more. So they keep working and if they have already exhausted their good karma, and when they don't get money, $3 million for the bigger house, what happens? They'll try to do something, drug peddling, something they will do, illegal, and then again falling down to the hellish planets. Now this is the biggest danger of the subterranean heavenly planets. You get used to such a level of opulence that that bijam kutam, everything is going to come with you. The propensity to enjoy at that level without the karma. And then that will lead you to doing sinful activities and going down. So that is where, that is why the subterranean heavenly planets are the most dangerous. So caveat Prabhupada is giving. Don't get attracted because of these descriptions of the subterranean heavenly planets. I'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Yes, ma'am.
Two points. One is, what is their next destination in general? Is it, you're saying, earthly
planet? Yes, 100%. Because earthly planets are the karma bhumi. All other planets are the bhoga bhumi. Bhoga bhumi means you can have good bhoga or bad bhoga. You know, bhoga generally is associated with good. Either you are getting punished in the hellish planets or you are enjoying in the upper or lower heavenly planets. But then when you exhaust your karma, your good karma is exhausted by enjoyment. Your bad karma is exhausted by punishment. And then you have to come back to the plane of activity, which is this material world. That is why this material world is considered as a place of mode of passion. Because passion, activity is a symptom of passion, material activity.
Thank you. And then if we compare the residents of subterranean planets and the demigods, the enjoyment is same and it's more here and more down below. But the difference is the consciousness. Can we say that the demigods are, these people are an illusion of the bodily concept and everything. Can we say that the demigods actually are not in that illusion and they also know the constitutional position is to serve?
That person they know. That's why I said demigods are people who know that Krishna is the supreme. Otherwise why will they be given power of attorney to be demigods? Right? Krishna will only give power of attorney to someone who acknowledges him, right? And who will ultimately be subservient. Incidentally, yes, they may have their material desires, which Krishna is fulfilling, no? By giving, my dear Indra, you are a devotee, but you have this desire to control, okay, become controller for some time. You still are attracted by Urvashi, okay, fine. You had a desire, no? No, that you have a wife like Miss India, Miss Universe. okay, I will give you Urvashi, enjoy for some time, like that. But then we cannot get trapped in that enjoyment. Even there the Lord comes, if you see. Even in the upper heavenly planets, the Lord keeps coming to motivate the devotees, to attract the devotees. But the only problem is in the upper heavenly planets, whenever life gets good, LG, life is good. Whenever LG happens, then what happens? Then the intensity for bhakti doesn't come, and that's the biggest problem. Usually, even in this life, we have seen, most of us become sober when some misery hits. Otherwise, we are in our own, you know, we are just flying like this, you know, ud raha hai bahut, like that. But then something happens, and then, you know, you come to your senses after that. So sometimes these miseries are meant to bring us down to earth and make us, bring us closer to Bhagavan, to realize the futility of this existence. So in that sense, miseries are one of the biggest, they are the, in the long term, they are the biggest good things that happen to us. Okay? Whereas all enjoyment that comes, in the short term it may be good, but in the long term it is not, because one can get consumed or consumed, whatever you call it, is, into those kind of indulgences.
Did they create karma as they continue their activities in up and down?
No, no. Karma bhumi is this. These are all bhoga bhumi, like that. Now, it is not, now that is not karma. Now you may say, when Indra did that to the gopis, but that is not karma. That is, that comes under the category of, see, when you talk about karma, you are talking about piety and sin. Aparadhas don't come into that category. Aparadhas is a different category. So that was an aparadha, offense. And then Lord had to correct him. Aparadhas are handled by the Lord, by his personal punishment. So it doesn't make sense. Yeah. They are all given personally by the Lord.
And when he offends Braspati, that's aparadha as well.
Definitely, it is aparadha. He didn't say, no, I reject saintly personalities. He didn't say that. He offended a saintly personality. But he didn't say the personality was not saintly. Or he didn't say that, I don't believe in saints, I don't believe in God, no. Not atheist or apathetic, not like that. But aparadha, based on policy, yeah.
And you said that all Muktis, they are the neutral, they being the Braja and Riva.
Yes.
And what happens, are they neutral, now they go up or they go down, or what would happen to them?
At any point in time, the soul has a choice. No.
Wow.
The soul has a choice to take. No, because even in the Viraja River, there is Mahavishnu is there. His palace is there. No? Correct? Even in the ocean, inside that ocean, that palace is there of Mahavishnu, where one can observe his beauty and then get attracted. Yeah. Yeah. One has always, at any point in time, the Lord is there everywhere. The Lord is omni, what is it? Present is omnipresent. Right? So in any place in the cosmos, he is there. There is no place in the cosmos where he is not there to attract us.
The devotees, they have to avoid sense gratification or regulate sense gratification.
Should devotees avoid sense gratification or regulate sense gratification? Ideally, they should avoid. Ideally, you should avoid. But avoiding may not be possible. Avoiding is not a practical. Correct? For a new person, avoiding sense gratification might not be practical. Therefore, regulation is needed. Regulation should lead to eventual abstinence. It is just like the mother, when the mother wants to feed vegetables to the child, the mother puts some chocolate in that and then feeds vegetables. You give one chocolate, I'll give, then you eat this vegetable. Okay, good boy, mama is giving. But does the mother want to give chocolate? No, the mother wants to give vegetable. But some chocolate is given in between. So that is called as regulation. So in regulated mode, it is given as a reward for being a good boy, for eating vegetables. So, but the goal is not to eat chocolates. The goal is to eat vegetables. Right? So therefore, the goal is not sense gratification. But sense gratification is given eventually so that one can gradually cut down. So if a person is drinking alcohol and fallen in the gutter, you cannot tell him Madanakya Mahabhava Radharani. Correct? Directly. He is not ready for it. So the first instruction you will give him, drink. But do not fall in the gutter. Okay, I am not falling in the gutter. No problem. Good boy. Drink, but don't beat your wife after drinking. Don't beat wife after drinking. Okay. Next big instruction. Third big instruction is drink little drink, but little control, so that at least you know you don't get sex desire after drinking. You don't go to any woman and misbehave, right? So slower and slower and slower. So if you see that, if the evolution of religion is also based on this only. Actually, one day I was doing a Bhakti Vriksha program. Somebody asked me, what is the difference? Why so many religions are there? Okay, why not one religion? Actually, there is only one religion, which is called as Sanatana Dharma, the eternal religion. They asked me, what about Christianity? Is Christianity better or Hinduism is better? First of all, there is no word called as Hinduism in the scriptures. Correct. So Hinduism is that way not a God-made religion in that sense, right? But what about Christianity? I follow Christianity. Then obviously the question I asked that person was, you follow Christianity? Who spoke Christianity? He says, Jesus Christ. Was Jesus Christ a Christian? Because he spoke something before Jesus Christ or after Jesus Christ, because he was Jesus Christ, right? So where was his reference point? Whatever he spoke, you branded as Christianity. But what did he speak? Was what? What entity was it that he spoke before you heard it and you branded it as Christianity? So that is Sanatana, that is eternal religion. So all these prophets and Masihas, whoever come, messengers of God, they are genuine. They speak from eternal religion, but they speak according to time, place and circumstance. For example, one particular prophet, when he came, he said, do not have sex with your own mother at least. If you want, you marry 10 wives to take, but don't think of your own mother in that way. But does it mean having 10 wives is the highest symptom of God consciousness? No. Okay, even in Vedas, don't the Vedas talk about alcohol? Yes. There is Sautramani Yajna. Vedas talk about Sautramani Yajna. They say if you want to drink alcohol, yes, there is a particular procedure you have to follow. If you want to eat a goat, there is a particular process you have to follow. So, the scriptures are like syllabus, which is grade 1 syllabus, grade 2 syllabus, grade 3 syllabus, university, master's syllabus and PhD syllabus. Now each of these grade 1, grade 2 syllabus you can call as 1111 regulation. Sometimes a set of regulations is branded as a religion. But the highest religion is Savai Pumsa Paro Dharma Yato Bhakti Radokshate Ahai Tuki Apratihata Yayatma Sukrapati. Highest religion is that by which men can attain love of Godhead. But regulation is a step towards coming to that stage. So I don't know, is it? Does that help? You know the answer, Namon Ru. I know you are asking from a preaching point of view, but what you don't know, I believe that. Do you want me to go to the subterranean in heavenly blankets? Of the 23 cells, to be having
They have a hotel for foreigners and catering manager job is necessary.
Hotel for managers is catering job. Devotees will go there also. Namban Prabhu is there. Caterers to all these hotels, quarantine or so. Devotees, see, Krishna is sent to there also, right? So you are doing an amazing. So many devotees are told that during quarantine, they were the source of carrying Krishna Prasadam to them. So this is devotee. Anyway. Anything else? Okay, we stop. Grantharakshiman Bhagavatam.
Jai! Jai!